Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. Please join Father Cedric's message already in progress.
Fathers are good at waiting. For example, you wait for your children to be born. You wait for them to speak their first words, hopefully dada, not mama. You wait for them to take their first steps. You wait for them to get out of the bathroom in the morning. You wait for them to get off the phone. You wait for them to get a job and get out of the house. So fathers are good at waiting. So, split screen, what's the father doing in the story here? The father is waiting. And he's watching. And how do we know that? Because when the son finally does come back, remember, the father sees him from a distance. So that tells me that he's not out on the farm. He's not watching TV. He's not sitting at the table eating. He's at the end of his driveway waiting for his son to come back, hoping, believing that his own flesh and blood is going to make a move. Because when the son does come back, he's there ready for him. And what I want to tell you is that we sang that beautiful song, Hosea, comes right from the prophet. And the prophet said, these are the words, the word of God. The prophet said, long have I waited for your coming back to me. What is God doing in your life right now? Well, just what he's doing in the story. He is waiting. And he's watching. And I love that song, long have I waited for your coming back to me. And for some of you, long have I waited for your coming back to me. I know because I hear your confessions, 30 years, 40 years. What are you waiting for? Today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. You know, a lot of people think, well, you know, I'm not even sure there's a God. Look it, I've been sinning, I've been living like this, and nothing seems to be going wrong. Not from God's perspective. God is saying, look it, I've been giving you the time, I've been merciful, I've been giving you the space, and you're seeing it the wrong way. You're seeing my mercy as I don't exist. It's my mercy, I'm giving you time, and you're thinking I don't even exist. But the time is going to come. Now is the day. Today is the acceptable time. Don't presume God's mercy or in your distorted thinking think that he doesn't even exist. He's being merciful to you to give you time to come back to him. Now, today. Okay, so God's waiting. That's what he's doing in your life. He's waiting for you to make a move. That's what's going on in the story. Speaking about waiting, did you ever hear this story? There's three men, fathers-to-be. Their wives are all having babies. And they're all in the maternity waiting room, awaiting word about their wives who are all having babies. So three of them, and they're all sitting there, and they're real nervous and fidgety. All of a sudden, door barges open. It's a nurse. She comes in. She goes, sir, to the first guy. Sir, congratulations, you just had twins. And he jumps up, and he goes, yes, we were hoping for twins, and he's happy and everything. But he says, you know what, I got to tell you something. That's a coincidence. I work for Twin City Insurance Company. So they're sitting there rejoicing. All of a sudden, doors barge open again. Here comes the second nurse into the second guy. Sir, congratulations. You're not going to believe this. Your wife just had triplets. And he jumps up. He starts passing out cigars. He goes, triplets, hot dog. You know, and he's all happy and everything. That's a coincidence. I work for Tri-City Motors. Huh. They all look at the third guy, and he's turning white as a ghost. He gets up, and he starts heading for the door. And they go, come back, come back, come back. Where are you going? He says, he's having a panic attack. He goes, he goes, I got to get out of here. I work for 7-Up. So God's waiting and watching. Did you ever hear the song by Bette Midler? God is watching us at a distance. It was out years ago. And some people thought that song, you know, God is watching us at a distance. Well, anyway, some people thought that means that God's far away, at a distance, he's watching you. But that's not what she was singing about. If you listen to the song, it says that although the earth is full of war and hatred and violence and all this different thing, from a distance, it looks blue and green and beautiful. And then she says, God is watching us from a distance. So in other words, God's not far away from you, but he sees the best in you. He doesn't look at the sin and the rebelliousness and the selfishness. Rather, he sees you as his little baby, as his little child. So God is watching and he's waiting from a distance. Interesting, when the sun finally does come, the Bible says that, get this, the father ran to him. Now again, I've studied this parable. You've got to understand what happens here. In Jewish society, you did not, if you were a father, it was undignified for a Jewish man to run. So in other words, the father lost his dignity when he saw the son. I mean, he didn't even care. He loses his dignity. See, he doesn't care about his dignity. He cares about you. And you know what this tells me when the father ran to the son, when he finally did see the son? You know what it tells me? It tells me that when you're walking, when you just walk toward God, God runs toward you. He'll meet you more than halfway. He just wants you to make the move. I mean, he'll pour it on you. He'll lavish you. Okay, so that's the split screen. Son's doing that. Father's doing this. He's watching and waiting at the end of the driveway, about ready to run. Let's go back to the son now, split screen. Okay, what's the son doing? He's gotten up, shook the mud off. I don't know, maybe he had a little bit of bacon that morning, and now he's going to come back to his father. He says, I'm going to rise and go back to my father. And you know what he did? He did what you're about to do, many of you, and what I used to do. He was rehearsing his confession. Get this. It's interesting. He's on his way back, and as he's coming back, and he better rehearse his confession. After all, what he did was really bad. He's been a bad boy. He spent the inheritance, cut himself off. Remember, treated his father like he was dead. Now he's going to come back? The audacity of this young man. But he had passion, so we got to give him that. So here he comes, and now here's what he's doing. He's rehearsing his confession, and this is exactly the way it went from the Bible. He said, Father, he's going to try to make up something good to get accepted back. Father, I've sinned against heaven, and I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just treat me as one of your hired hands. How he came up with that, I don't know, but it sounds pretty good. Father, I've sinned against heaven, and I've sinned against you. No longer worthy to be called your son. Just treat me. Maybe I should get down on my knees. Just treat me as one of your hired hands. You know, he's going to act this out. So, you know what? That's exactly what I used to do. Rehearse my confession when I go. When I was a young man, fourth grade, second grade, third grade. They used to line us up. The confessional was in the back, just like in this church. And they'd line us up on the wall. The whole third grade. It was like a firing squad. You'd be like... Oh, no. And then you'd have to keep moving closer. You know, next one goes, you're getting closer and closer. And I'd rehearse my confession because, you know, you're about to go in there in front of the priest. And here's what I figured out. You know, you don't want to have too many sins because then the priest will yell at you. What? You're in the third grade? You did all that? You know, it's like, okay, I'm sorry. Or the other thing is you don't want to have too few sins. Or else the priest will go, don't you know how to examine your conscience? So I figured, you know, maybe we do this tonight. I figured 3 is a good number. It's just about right. And if you've got a big one, get it in second. And then get the third one in quick, right after it. So, you know, that's what we used to do. Now, the act of contrition, for example, got a good memory. I had active contrition amnesia. That door would slide open, and I'd be like, dab, dab, dab. I was just terrified, you know, and the smell in those confessionals, you know, it adds to the whole thing. So you don't have to worry about that tonight, because I gave you the act of contrition on your sheet, so you're not going to have to worry. And the other thing, I realize that people are afraid, because I've been hearing confessions now for 16 years. People come to me, they sit before me, they tremble, their hands are freezing cold. They tell me that they never do this. that it's very hard for them. I understand. I've been through it. But one woman, I think she takes the cake. You know, she came in there talking about being afraid. She came down there, sat in front of me. You know how you start, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned"? She started like this. "Bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts which you're about to receive from me." And I thought, she just prayed table grace, and she doesn't even know it. So I tried to help her. I said, "Okay, I know you're afraid. Just tell me what you can, the best you can." And, you know, the other thing is people are afraid of making a bad confession, because I think we were taught this growing up, that you got to tell the number of sins, the exact sins, and the number of times, or else it's going to be a bad confession. Now, what I want to say is this. Welcome to the first bad confession in the Bible. Why? Because this young man had practiced and rehearsed and was all ready to go. Times, numbers, get it out exactly. "Father, I've sinned against heaven, I've sinned against you." Remember? He had it all rehearsed. He gets to his father. Remember, his father ran to him. And he goes, "Father." Now, it's his moment. Here's the scene. He comes back. The father runs to him. "Father, I've sinned against heaven, I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called." And then that was all he was able to get out. You know why? Because he was hugged. He was kissed. They were putting a robe on him, putting a ring on him, shoes on his feet, and they were getting this big meal ready. He wasn't even able to get his confession out. And he was lavished with all these things. You know what that tells me? You got to read between the lines in the scriptures. You know what that tells me? It tells me that God isn't really interested in all the times, in the numbers, in the places, in the deeds. He already knows what you've done. What is he interested in? He's interested that you make a move. And that you come with sorrow. That's all he wants. Just come and he'll run to you. Just mean it and he'll help you. So what I'm saying is, later on when you're in your car and you know, you go, "Wow, that was so good. I went to confession. I'm so, oh, I forgot about that sin. I didn't even say it." And then the devil's going, "Oh yeah, you didn't say it. That was a bad confession. That whole thing that you just, and all that peace that you got, forget it now." You say, "Oh yeah, devil? Go jump in the lake of fire, because my father loves me and he forgives me." Every confession, how can you say that a confession is a bad confession? Something so good and so holy. Look at you. You're here on a Tuesday night. You're watching this on TV when you could be watching other things. You're good people. God sees you from a distance. He sees the best in you. All he wants you to do is come. Make a move. Be sorry. You're not going to be perfect, but you're going forward. That's what God's after. God gave me a phrase years ago. I'm not interested in perfection. I'm interested in progression. And remember what I told you before. Who you are is God's gift to you, but who you become is your gift to God. So he wants you to become. He wants you to make that move and to keep moving forward. And so really quickly, you know, so here's the young man. He comes back. We're watching this now, and the father runs to him, and he hugs him and kisses him. Did you have a father that hugged and kissed you? Many people didn't. Many people had a father that didn't know how to show affection. And you wondered if he loved you. See, what Jesus is doing here, this, I don't know what your image of God is. Many people have a harsh, punishing image of God. But you have to understand something. This is the most beautiful image of God in the entire Bible. A God who hugs and kisses. A God who's not afraid to show affection. You know, Rembrandt painted this, by the way, and you have it in your church right now during Lent. It's closed, but it's the return of the prodigal. And here's the young man kneeling before his father and the father's hands and arms extended around the child. And if you look really closely, the left hand is larger than the right hand. And that's been interpreted as God is masculine, strong, protective, but he's also tender, caring, and soft, gentle like a mother. So God is father and mother. And you have to understand, God is everything. And there's that wonderful embrace that Rembrandt captured. It's such a beautiful portrait. And tonight, I want you to sense that no matter what you've done, or where you've been, or what your issues are, or what kind of pigs you've been hanging out with, that God forgives you, that there's mercy. No matter how you've betrayed yourself and sabotaged your life, you're forgiven. I want you to hold on to that image of your God hugging you and kissing you. Wow. Nowhere else in the Bible do we have anything so profound. And then, of course, really quickly, he makes out like a bandit. You think he had an inheritance before. Wait till you see what he gets. He gets a ring. That, by the way, means you're back in the family. Reconciliation means you're one again. He gets a robe. That means that you have a right relationship with God, a personal relationship with God, the robe of righteousness. He gets shoes. You know what they gave slaves when they set them free? Walking shoes, because now they're free. So in other words, there's no need to be held by any addiction, no need to be held bound by any sin, because when God gives you shoes, you go free. And then, of course, the fatted calf. You know what that is? That's a foretaste of heaven. So, in other words, what God is saying is that you belong to me, you have a relationship with me, I love you, you're free, and you're going to heaven. So, you got to celebrate. You know, why stay stuck? It's for everybody. Not just holy people, not just people that go to church, everybody who will make a move with God. God is equal to and equal with. Okay. Well, so there was great rejoicing, great celebration. It's exactly what the sacrament of reconciliation is. It's a celebration. It's a wonderful time. I'm inviting you to come and celebrate it. Now, really quickly, there was two parties going on here. One was the fatted calf party, and then there was the pity party. Now, I didn't talk about this in the Bible yet, but there was another son, remember? Or we could call him another daughter. It was the older son out in the field. He hears what's going on, that his younger brother, who took half the inheritance and squandered it with loose living, is now back, and he's out in the field, and he's upset. He's angry, he's envious, and he's in self-pity. Well, maybe that's an issue or two that you got to look at. What are your relationships with your family like? How about that person at work that got the promotion over you? Are you envious and angry and bitter? How are your relationships? Are you forgiving? You know, that's huge. Well, anyway, get this. The father, talk about an image of God, he comes out to him too. You know, this is the God that we have. I mean, totally accepting, totally inclusive. He goes out to this other son, and he says, son, he said, everything I have is yours. That's what a lot of people think that go to church, you know. They think, how come these people that have fallen away have this born-again experience, filled with the Holy Spirit, having all these tongues, experiencing all these things, and I go to church all the time and I don't feel anything? And you know what God is saying to you? Everything I have is yours. He's just wanting you to be faithful and to be strong and not fall away. And that's, you know, the older son had it all. He just didn't appreciate it. He was angry, self-pity, envy, the whole thing. He's mad at his brother. Well, God comes out to you too. Appreciate the good things that you have from God and quit comparing yourself to everybody else. Otherwise, living in envy is like about the worst thing you can do. It's sick. It'll destroy you. Anger will eat you up. And competition is horrible. Rejoice in your life, in the good things that God has given you. I have to tell you really quickly, you know, I have two sisters, two older sisters. We're talking about sibling rivalry now, you know, these two guys, and my older sisters and I get along really well, but my middle sister, for some reason, growing up, you know, I'm the third and the only boy, for some reason growing up, whenever I would say things, she would take it wrong. And she distanced herself from me. She put up these walls, and it was very difficult. So what happens is now she lives in Maryland, and I live in Houston. So we don't see each other at all anymore. Well, my dad died about 7 years ago. We were both at the funeral. And I realized something. You know what? When my mother dies, and she's now 84, I'm never going to see her again. But I don't want it to be that way. Part of me does. Part of me says, the heck with her. She takes me wrong. You know, she's probably jealous of my life. Let her go. But the Christ in me says, no, I forgive her. I love her. She's my sister. I want to be a part of her life, and I want her to be a part of my life. I don't want it to be that way. I forgive her. So I was talking to my older sister about it, and she recommended, Cedric, just send her an email. Tell her you want to have a closer relationship. So I did that. And she wrote me back. And she said, I want to have a closer relationship with you. And now we've been emailing each other often, talking to each other, sharing our lives together. Now, we're not best of friends, but I've built a bridge. And I'm not telling you, if you've got somebody that you're struggling with, maybe a sister or a brother or even somebody else, you don't have to be best of friends with them, but at least open an avenue of communication. A bridge where maybe some reconciliation can occur. And perhaps you have not committed adultery or murdered anybody or something like that, but if you're harboring a grudge in your heart or non-forgiveness with your own sibling, then something's wrong. And you got to look at that too. So, I mean, Jesus in this parable, I mean, he kind of covers all the bases. Relationships, you know, the seven deadlies, selfishness, everything. That is such a beautiful parable, and let me tell you, the end of the parable is interesting. I don't know if you've ever noticed this. This older son is invited to the party, right? The father comes out to him. He's invited to the party. Now, we never know. The story never tells us whether or not he comes to the party. See, Jesus is a master storyteller, because what he's doing is every time this story is proclaimed, you are the end of the story. Your decision tonight and your decision as you watch is how this story ends. It's a beautiful story. The father comes out to you. He invites you to come to the party. Now, what's your response going to be? Are you going to say, well, maybe tomorrow? Or I don't really think I want to. Or I'm not ready yet. Or I'm afraid. Or I can't. Or I don't really want to change. Or are you going to make the move and say, yes, it's time. Now, today, here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. I was hearing confessions one night till about 10 o'clock. Long lines. Last woman comes to me. She sits down, and I thanked her. I said, ma'am, I said, you've been waiting 2 hours to come to confession. Thank you for waiting. I really appreciate it. She said, no, Father, don't thank me. Got to let you know, I went home after you preached, and I was sitting there watching TV, and my conscience told me, get back there. Today is the day. Now's the time. I got to make a move. And so what I'm saying to you is, don't be afraid. Don't stay stuck. Face your issues. Deal with your sin, and make the move. Your Father is not only watching and waiting, he's running to you. And he's going to lay it on you. He'll kiss you. He'll hug you. You'll be forgiven. You'll have reconciliation. There is no reason not to come to God. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. I'd like to together pray the act of contrition. Even if you're not going to go to confession, I want you to pray it with me. So let's all stand and pray. It's on the back of that sheet. So let's come before Jesus and pray with sorrow. Jesus, I have sinned. I am sorry. Have mercy in your kindness. I want a new beginning with you. through your grace, heal and cleanse me. Help me to change and follow you. Amen. And Heavenly Father, I pray for all the good folks that are here and those who are watching by TV. As we surrender to you and give you our hearts, may we experience your hug, your kiss, your forgiveness, and may we truly change, go forward, progress, and move. And may Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, have a seat just for a minute and let me explain what's going to happen. Well, here's what you do if you go to confession, those of you who will go. There'll be no formal close. Once the priests will go to their stations, you can just pick a priest and go. And then once you finish, you just leave and we'll see you tomorrow. But once you go, here's what you do. You go to the priest, you make the sign of the cross, tell us how long it's been. For some of you, it's been since Advent. For some of you, it's been 30 years. Just tell us. We're not going to yell at you. We'll celebrate with you. And then tell us two or three main sins or areas, issues that you're dealing with. If there's one, just say one. What's the main thing? And then we will absolve you individually. Then you go. You go with new shoes, with a new ring, with a new robe, and you go home to eat the fatted calf because God's laying it on you. And so, by the way, your penance, they're not going to give you a penance. Read Psalm 51 as you're standing in line rehearsing your confession. That will be your penance, Psalm 51. So all you got to do is confess your sin, we'll absolve you. But what you got to do is make a move. And once you make the move, God will do the rest.
You've reached the end of this teaching.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live. Live with passion.